I read a verse in the Bible recently, made me ask a question. And I don't know if you're full of questions, but I feel like questions are a good thing because often questions lead us to gain understanding. I heard the story of a 10-year-old boy who went on a fishing trip with his dad. And so they were out on a lake on a beautiful day like this, blue skies. And the little boy was just sitting pondering life. And he turned to his dad and said, "Dad, how come this boat floats?" And his dad thought for a moment. He said, "To be honest, I don't really know." And the boy thought for a little while longer and he said, "Dad, how come fish can breathe underwater?" And his dad thought for a minute and he said, "Son, to be honest, I don't really know." And the son continued to think and he looked up and he said, "Dad, how come the sky is blue?" And his dad looked up at the sky and said, "To be honest, son, I don't really know." And by this point, the son thought that he might be annoying his dad. So he said, "Dad, I'm so sorry for asking so many questions." And the dad said, "It's okay, son. I think it's good to ask questions because it's by asking questions that you learn things." And obviously the dad wasn't able to teach the son the things that he wanted to know. But the question that I asked the other day when I read this verse, and let me share it with you. It's in Acts chapter 17. And it's a description of the Apostle Paul and his ministry and his message. And this is what it says. Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So the question that I asked was, why is the resurrection such good news? And if you look throughout the Bible, if you look at the early church, the church that was newly formed after Jesus came back to life, their message was full of things, but the core of the message was Jesus is alive. So let's look at a few of those passages. So in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, when he is preaching, he says this, and he's speaking to the people in Jerusalem just after Jesus' death. He said, "You put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And then a little bit later in the same book in the Bible, Peter again said, speaking again to the Jewish nation, "You disowned the holy and the righteous one," that's Jesus. "And you asked that a murderer be released to you," that's Barabbas. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to this." And again in the next chapter, Peter again, he says, "Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." And they'd just seen an incredible healing miracle as a man who couldn't walk was suddenly able to walk because of the power of Jesus. The next chapter, Peter says, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross." A few chapters later, we are witnesses of everything Jesus did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day. And it goes on. In Acts 13, God raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This was the message of the early church. They preached the good news that not only was Jesus amazing, not only was he an incredible Bible teacher, not only was he a prophet that walked on the earth, but he was God in human form, fully God and fully man. And not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he came back to life. This was the message of the church and still is today. Somebody once said to me, if a man or a woman has a serious disease and they don't know about it, their greatest need is a doctor, whether they realize it or not. And the truth is today, our greatest need is forgiveness, for our heart to be put right before God. And that's made possible because of Jesus' death on the cross. But if he had only died and didn't come back to life, it would mean nothing. So the first thing I want to say today is the resurrection is good news because it gives us forgiveness from our past. If you were to bring a person who had died from a serious disease back to life, if you were going to bring them back to life, you would need to do two things. So imagine a person laid out that just died from a very serious disease. You'd have to do two things. The first thing is you would have to somehow take the disease out of their body. But if you only take the disease out of the body and don't bring them back to life, all you have is a healthy, dead person. And what Jesus did was he died on the cross for our sins. He took away our disease. But not only did he take away the disease of sin and bring forgiveness to our lives, he also rose from the dead so that he could give us life. Life here and now in all of its fullness and the promise of eternal life still to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 it says this, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." In other words, if Christianity was just about Jesus dying on the cross, but that he stayed dead and remained in the tomb, then he wasn't who he claimed to be. But Jesus was raised from the grave. He did defeat death. He is alive today. And so what he accomplished on the cross can now be applied to us as we receive forgiveness for our sins. And he gives us life in all of its fullness and eternal life still to come. The resurrection is good news because it gives us forgiveness from our past. And I don't know today, if you're watching this, you might not be a Christian yet, or you might not be sure that you're a Christian. And today you're longing for peace in your heart. You're longing for forgiveness. You want the shame and the guilt and all of the stuff that's built up over the years because you know you've done things that have not only violated your own conscience, but dishonored God. And you want peace with God this morning. And he offers us forgiveness through what Jesus has done on the cross. And that is ours because Jesus has come back to life, raised from the grave. He applies what he accomplished on the cross to our lives today. And we have to just receive his forgiveness. We do that through repentance. The Bible calls this process of turning to God repentance. It basically means we're sorry, but it's more than that. It means we turn away from our sin and we turn to God and we receive his forgiveness by faith. And this morning it might be that you need his forgiveness. And at the end I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. The second reason why the resurrection is good news is not only that it brings forgiveness from the things that happened in our past, but it gives us power for the present. In Ephesians, one of the books in the Bible, chapter 1, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." In other words, he says, "I pray that the light goes on in order that you may understand his incomparably great power for us who believe." Listen to this. The president has power, but it's not incomparably great power. The prime minister has power, but it's not incomparably great power. There are powerful people in this earth, but no one is as powerful as God. And it says that his incomparably great power is for us who believe. It says that power is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And now he is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. That same power that raised Jesus from the grave can be in us if we believe. A lot of people think the Christian life is about rules and regulations. It's about going to church. It's about singing songs. It's about reading books, the Bible. It's all about the things you do or don't do. But actually, the truth of the Christian faith is not that we have to jump through lots of religious hoops in order to be good enough for God. The truth about the Christian faith is that Jesus did it all. He did everything. Every other religion teaches that we have to climb this ladder of righteousness to get to God. And somehow if we're good enough, he will accept us. But the Christian faith teaches that the God of the universe didn't wait for us to climb up to him. He came down to where we are. He took on our humanity. He became like us and ultimately took our place. Was punished for our sins so that we could be forgiven and so that we could receive his eternal life. So it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about trying really hard. It's about saying, thank you, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be good enough. Even my best efforts fall way short of God's standards. But Jesus has done it all. He's taken my sin and he's given me his life. And so the difference between empty religion and a true and living faith in Jesus is this. God gives us his power to live the life he calls us to live. It's not by human effort, it's by the Holy Spirit's power. And what he promises to everyone who becomes a Christian is he will put his life in us through the Holy Spirit. It actually says that he will give us a brand new heart. He'll give us brand new desires. He'll help us to love people in a way that we've struggled to love people before. We'll find that we have more peace and we have more joy and we experience life in all of its fullness because he has put his power in us. He gives us the ability to live the life that he wants us to live. So not only is the resurrection good news because there's forgiveness from our past, not only is it good news because it gives us power for the present, but it's also good news because it gives us hope for the future. There was a guy back in the early 20th century called Harry Houdini, and he's famous because he was brilliant at escaping from things. He died in 1926, but it was believed that he could escape from anything. He had the flexibility of an eel and the nine lives of a cat. They sealed him in a coffin and they buried him and he escaped. They riveted him into a boiler and he escaped. They sewed him into some canvas bags and he escaped. They even locked him in a high security prison and he escaped. One time he was talking to his wife about death and he says, if there's anyone who can find a way out of death, it'll be me. And when I die, I'll wait for a year. And if there is a way out, I'll come back to you on the anniversary of my death. And so when he did die in 1926, the next year, his wife lit a candle. And she waited, and nothing happened. The second year, the same. The third year, the same. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. And on the ninth year and the tenth year, finally she realized that it was no point. She turned out the candle and she gave up hope. Because although Harry Houdini could escape from almost everything, there was one thing that he couldn't escape from, and that was death. The one thing that is guaranteed to every person is death, and there is no escape. But there was one. There was one person who was able to break through death. There was one person who couldn't be held by death. Death couldn't hold on to him. He broke through death. He defeated death and he overcame death so that he could lead others beyond death into eternal life. And that was Jesus. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits, the one who went before us. The first fruits of all who have died. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead also came through one man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. And then a little bit later on, it says, death has been swallowed up in Christ's victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's like he's going, nah, death, you've been defeated. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is the resurrection good news because there's forgiveness for our past. Not only is it good news because there is power for our present. Not only is it good news because we have a hope for the future. It's good news today because we all can experience the goodness that came because of Jesus' resurrection from the grave. In Acts of the Apostles, one of the most amazing books, I think, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was sharing about the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And there were three reactions to what he said. So it says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. And it might be that today you're watching this and you just can't believe this stuff. You're just not ready to accept that this is true. And before I became a Christian, I was exactly the same. I was in exactly the same position. And if you are watching this and you can't believe this stuff is true, I just want to say God bless you and thank you so much for joining us today. And it goes on to say, but there were others who said, well, we want to hear you again on this subject. In other words, they were interested. They weren't sure, but they wanted to find out more. And as a church, we're running, beginning on the 21st of April, we're running a course called the Alpha Course. And this course is an introduction to the Christian faith. It's an opportunity to hear some of the basics of what Christianity teaches, but also ask all of the questions that you have. You won't be judged. You won't be told that you're wrong. You'll be able to come along and just talk about the things that you're interested in, share your perspectives on some of the things that you hear, and hopefully gain a more full understanding of what the Christian faith involves. And so if you want to find out more about Christianity, please register for the Alpha Course. You can find out all of the details on our website, www.hopechurchcorby.org/alpha. And if you go on to, and that will be in the chat as well, we've put the details of that in the chat below this video. And if you go onto our YouTube channel, you'll also be able to find some videos relating to that. So there were some who sneered, there were some who wanted to find out more, but there were some people who became followers of Paul and believed. And it might be that today, you might have a bit of a history with God. It might be that you've been to church in the past or in recent times, God's just been stirring something in your heart and you just know that you want to invite Jesus into your life. This, right now, could be your moment. When I was 18 years old, I'd never been to church before, but my friend invited me to church. And I went that first time and I felt the presence of God and I saw the way people loved each other and I heard the message and I asked all my questions until I just ran out of questions. And then on the 22nd of May in 1994, I prayed a simple prayer and invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I said, sorry for my sin. I asked him to fill me with his spirit to give me power to live this life. And I asked him to become the Lord of my life. And it might be that today you want to do exactly the same thing. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And I don't want you just to pray this prayer because I'm praying it. If you're not ready, don't pray this prayer. But if you're ready, this could be your moment. And I'd like to pray with you. So as I pray, why don't you pray after me? Father, I thank you for Easter. I thank you for the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I thank you that he died for my sin and he rose to life so that I could experience life. Father, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I choose to turn away from my life without you and turn to you. I want you to fill my life. Would you fill my heart now with your Holy Spirit? I want to follow you from this day forward as my Lord. Amen. So, if you've prayed that prayer today and you meant those words, congratulations. The Lord Jesus has come into your life and he will begin to change you from the inside out. What I would ask you to do is, if you have a Christian friend, get in touch with them. Do it quickly and tell them the good news of what's happened today. If you don't have a Christian friend, get in touch with me. Get in touch with the church. All of our details are on our website. Send an email, phone the church office. There might be some details in the chat being added even as we speak. Get in touch. Share the good news of what's happened in your life today. Find yourself a nice modern version of the Bible. I use the New International Version. There are other great modern versions. You know, some people struggle with the old English of the Bibles that were written in the 1600s. Beautiful, beautiful language, but sometimes difficult to understand. So I tell people, get yourself a nice modern version of the Bible and begin to read it in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the stories about Jesus, and you'll fall in love with him. And just begin to pray and talk to God like he was standing right in front of you. Tell him everything that's going on in your life. Share your day-to-day stuff. Ask him for the things that you need. You don't have to use long religious words. You don't have to speak in a funny voice. Just talk to him like you would to anybody else and share your life with him. And get connected to a local church. It doesn't have to be Hope Church. It could be any of the churches in Corby. There are some amazing churches in Corby. But if it is Hope Church and you want us to be part of your journey of faith, again, we would love to be part of that. And get in touch and we will show you how is the best way to connect. So thank you so much for listening today. And let me just say one more time, hallelujah, he is risen.